Alright, so if you guys have your Bibles, just get them ready. We're going to be jumping around a whole bunch because I can't find one place to talk about for whatever reason. I'm sorry, Eugene. It's not going to be about Baby Yoda like you told me to do yesterday. Weirdly enough, he's not in the Bible.
Yet.
Waiting for that sequel, Bible 2, Electric Boogaloo. But what we're going to be talking about today is something that God's really been putting on my heart the past 2 years, and just kind of what I've been processing through and kind of realizing about it, and that's rest. It was something I was never very good at. I didn't like doing it. To this day, I still don't like doing it. And I realize I get sick a lot because I don't give myself time to rest. So we're going to be kind of looking at what is rest, what's biblical rest, and what does that look like in our lives, and what does it mean? So how many of you have ever said that you're in a season of rest? A quick show of hands. I've said that so many different times. And I think that that's a really important season in our life. But what does it actually mean? Like, everyone just kind of says it, and they just kind of throw it around, but nobody really says what that means. Rest is actually one of the many things in the Bible that God has promised us all the way back in the Old Testament. He promised the Israelites rest, and then when Jesus came, he promised us rest. But I think that there are some misconceptions about what rest actually looks like. Biblically, rest is something that we're encouraged to do, but what I've kind of been realizing, at least in my own life, it's different than what I expected it to look like. So we're called to rest in the Lord, and rest oftentimes is synonymous with peace. So when we're at peace, we're usually resting. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 14 through 22. Give you guys a second to get there. So I'll be reading from the NIV version. So verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups. One has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside his flesh, the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." So, if God's our peace, then by proxy, I would say that that also means that he's our rest. Psalm 62, verse 1 says, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him." And a few weeks ago, Aaron made a point, and it's really stuck with me. It's that humanity's first day was the Sabbath. And I've never looked at it that way. I've never really thought about it. I was just like, oh yeah, we were created, and then like, we messed up. Classic us, you know? But I think that there's a power in that. Because further on in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, it says, "Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." So God, from day one, literally planned for us to rest. But how do we rest in God? So one of the things that I've found that's helped me is I've been doing a lot of research on spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are habits, practices, and experiences that are designed to develop, grow, and strengthen certain qualities of spirit. It's a really common practice amongst theologians, monks, and at times even philosophers. But I find that when you pair these practices with rest, you find more of the benefits from the rest and from these practices. So a few examples of spiritual discipline are prayer and meditation, so spending time with God, praying to him, focusing on his word, fasting, which is the act of giving up something for an extended period of time. It could be food, it could be technology, it could be different types of food. I've done Daniel fasts, I've done technology fasts, and I've just done something that I know Aaron does, and it's called silence. So you just kind of go out and you fast from people. And you go out into the wilderness, at least that's what I do, because I like the mountains, I like the wilderness, I like the calm. Journaling is another one, so reading your Bible and kind of journaling about what's going on in your life, what's going on in the Bible, and how these two interact with each other. Fellowship is when we're all together and we're being a community with God. Simplicity, there are a lot of people that kind of live a very minimalistic life. I think that's really appealing. I don't do it, but I find it very appealing. I like my TV, I think is really cool. I just got a new one and I enjoy it. Chastity, silence is another one where you just kind of sit. Actually, a pastor that I really look up to, and I've been listening to a lot of his sermons, about once a month he does a 24-hour fast of silence where he doesn't say a single word and he just spends time with God. I can't do that. I like to talk. So, like, when you're hearing all these spiritual disciplines, like, know that not all of them are going to be for you, and that's totally fine. Self-examination, that's one that I've been really big on lately, where you just kind of get very introspective, and you look at yourself, and you compare that with your thoughts on yourself and what God's thinking about you, and through that you can figure out where, oh man, I've been telling myself a whole bunch of lies, or wow, I've really been dropping the ball in X, Y, or Z, or this relationship, or something like that. Studying, so studying the Word. Evangelism, going out and proselytizing, telling people about Jesus. Contemplation, which is just kind of thinking about what's going on in life. It's very similar to self-examination. And celebration, that's probably one of my favorite ones. I like celebrating. I like people. I'm super extroverted. So for me, celebration sounds way better than silence any day. But oftentimes, I think that people get rest confused with complacency. And I know that I've done that. There's been so many times where I'm like, well, I'm in a season of rest. And it's like, well, cool, what am I doing? Well, you know, I'm resting. Great, what is that? Is that just hanging out with people? Is that secluding yourself? Or is that playing Red Dead 2 for like 4 hours straight? Well, usually it's Red Dead 2 for 4 hours straight. But what I'm doing is I'm not spending time with God. So here I'm saying that I'm resting, but I'm doing it in a very selfish way. I'm not putting my rest in God, and I'm not strengthening that relationship with God. Therefore, the rest, while I might be getting a really good physical rest from going out and doing a whole bunch of things and activities, I'm not getting the spiritual rest that I need. You can put in work while you're resting. Like, you don't just have to sit still. You can still do things and rest. Perfect example, some of you might know, I played water polo in high school. It was a really big part of my life. I was way into it. In water polo, you're thrown into the deep end of the pool. Most pools were about 15 feet deep, so there's no standing the entire time you're treading. So in that, you had to learn how to tread and still get your stamina back and still learn how to rest while you're working to keep your head above the water. And so even though I was doing what people would consider work, for me, I was like, oh, thank God, I finally get a rest. Like, it's a really fast-paced sport, and you're constantly going and going and going and going. But that second where you're just like, dude, I get to just tread water and just hang out here right now, that's where you're getting your stamina. That's where you're getting your energy back from. But in that process, you're still doing something to maintain your flotation. So in that, you can still pursue your goals while you're resting. And I feel like a lot of people, when they come in and they say that they're in a season of rest or they're resting, they put their goals on hold. And I don't think that that's what we're called to do. However, if God tells you, hey, put these on hold and just rest and hang out with me, that's totally fine. I'm not going to get in between what God's telling you and what I'm saying right here. But what I do know is, if you guys can open up to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. It's a pretty popular Bible verse. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So in this, the yoke is usually the thing that goes over the oxen, and that's what they're using to plow the fields or do whatever you're needing the oxen for, whether it's pulling carts or anything like that. Notice how God didn't take the yoke from you. However, he did make it a very bearable thing. He didn't release you from having to do work, but he did say, hey, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're still doing work, but because you are resting in the Lord, it becomes easier and it becomes manageable for us. So all these things that hit us with life and all these distractions that we have, and when we're like, oh my gosh, I'm having such a hard time just keeping my head above the water, I need to rest. If we're resting in God, he gives us the provisions that we need in order for that to be a thing that becomes manageable for us. Moving on, again, we're jumping around. We're going to Mark chapter 3. Actually, if somebody wants to read that, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 6.
What is
it? Mark chapter 3. Yeah.
Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And Jesus said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him.
So here we have people who think that rest is one thing. This is the Sabbath, and in Exodus it talks about don't do any work on the Sabbath and everything like that. But here we see Jesus breaking that mold and setting an example for people. So he comes in and he shakes up the system, as Jesus usually does. That's why he's one of my favorite people. And we see that Jesus managed to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth even while he was in a moment of rest. So resting is not an excuse for laziness. And I'm not calling anyone lazy. I'm just saying this is directed at me, like more than anybody else. This is just kind of what I've been processing through. So I'm going to open it up to some conversation, but I have some questions prepared for us. So as a church, are we resting or are we being complacent? And then how do we come together as a community and fellowship and encourage and help each other? And then what are some ways that we as a church and individually can actively rest in the Lord? And just with the conversations, we'll turn that off. That way we can have privacy and really open up. But everyone listening online, thank you.